the call to defund police gained national attention after the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And weeks later, policymakers and community leaders continue to debate this idea. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Milwaukee Common Council is exploring plans to cut the police budget by 10% next year. Schools in Wisconsin and elsewhere are taking steps to end security contracts with police, their school resource officers. What questions do you have about spending on law enforcement in our state over time? What do you want to know about where your taxes go? We're at 800-642-1234. Jason Stein is research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, which recently published a report looking at trends in police spending. Jason, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. I appreciate being here.
So you were tracking law enforcement spending in Wisconsin and saw a pretty dramatic increase over the past three decades, almost 60% when you look at inflation factoring in. How did you measure this?
Sure. So when you look at spending on law enforcement, it is up per capita over time. It is up above the rate of inflation. And when you look at local spending by municipalities or counties, it's also up as a share of their budget. When you look over the past 30 years, it's down a little bit in the case of municipalities from its peak in 2013 as a share of a budget. But it still takes up a larger share of overall spending today than it did a generation ago.
And where did you get this data? How did you manipulate it?
Sure. A couple different places. One, all the municipalities and counties in the state report their taxes and spending to the State Department of Revenue every year. That data is available going back to the 80s. We analyze that data. Then, as well, to compare Wisconsin to the rest of the nation, the U.S. Census Bureau collects data in a similar way on state and local governments around the country, and we also looked at that data, and we can talk about it.
Yeah, so in 2017, Wisconsin was among the 23 states where municipalities spend the largest share of their budgets on police. What does the category of municipal spending include? What's all in there?
Well, so that's a good question, and it really varies by state. So
okay.
In some states, municipalities take a lead role in there's mayoral control of school districts, and the school is actually part of the municipal budget, and there you'll see K-12 spending being the largest municipal category. In Wisconsin, it's police and law enforcement. However, that doesn't mean necessarily that we don't have significant funding for education, because it's just that in Wisconsin, school districts are their own unit of local government, and their taxing and spending is reported separately from municipalities.
So there is some nuance there as to how local governments, who controls what in terms of those spending dollars, those tax dollars. We're talking about spending on police protection with Jason Stein, research director from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, taking your questions on how budgets form around policing at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Jason, as you look at those trend lines, what is behind this gradual increase in spending on law enforcement? Did you look at anything that is driving this?
Sure. And one thing that we can say, and I think a lot of your listeners already know this, is we don't take a position on the issues that we write about. We just try and provide context. So when you look at what's driving law enforcement spending, the vast majority of it goes to pay for staff. So that could be sworn officers, or it could also be other staff members in the department, and it goes to salaries and benefits. So, I mean, clearly one driver would be the cost of health care over time, which has risen more quickly than inflation. Pension and benefits as well. And then, labor costs typically rise more quickly than the rate of inflation, right? So that's one thing that's driving the cost of any organization that relies mainly on people. And then, finally, and we don't have numbers on this, but one thing to think about as well is that in Wisconsin, most collective bargaining for most public employees was repealed in 2011, but most collective bargaining remains in place for police officers and firefighters. So that may be a factor as well.
How would that be a factor? What do you see there? Is it unions asking for higher wages? What would be going on?
Sure. Right. It's that and the fact that local governments no longer have a legal obligation to bargain most aspects of the employee-employer relationship with public employees. But in the case of, with the exception of something around, a few things around healthcare, that obligation remains for police officers and firefighters and the local governments that employ them.
Let's take a look at crime rates here. Crime rates have fallen since the mid-80s. Are these factored into how you look at this data and what you see about overall crime trends?
Well, we think that's important context. So the violent crime rate is up somewhat in the FBI data for the state of Wisconsin. Property crime rates are down substantially, and so overall crime rates are down substantially. It's important to note that, you know, that over this decades-long period that we looked at going back to the mid-80s, laws have changed, police reporting practices have changed significantly, and definitions of some crimes, such as sexual assault, have changed. And all that makes the data less comparable. That said, even though it's imperfect, we think it provides at least some context for talking about police spending. The one other thing that is important to recognize is that police perform a lot of other functions besides responding to crimes. So they can also show up when there's a medical emergency, they staff events. So as the public and elected officials think about what law enforcement does, it is more than just responding to crimes. Although I think, again, that's the thing that most of us think about when we think about the police.
Yeah, and so there is nuance within that budget. That budget isn't directly going to specifically crime, that it can be a range of other things that police would be responding to. Did you look at it all, how agencies within that nuance would be breaking down those budgets and where those dollars would go within the agency?
Sure. I mean, one thing to be aware of is most of your law enforcement spending in Wisconsin is happening at the level of cities and villages. And there it is the number one expense. When you look at county, for counties, it's also a significant expense, although their health and human services is also a key spending item for counties. You know, one thing as well that it's worth pointing out is that even though spending has risen more quickly than inflation, it doesn't always necessarily translate into larger police force levels. So, you know, here we have more limited data, but when we looked at the largest cities in the state late last year, one thing that we noticed was that even though in some cases police force levels may have grown, on a per capita basis in most of the 10 largest cities in the state, police force levels are actually down over the past decade. So in other words, there's been spending increases typically, but they haven't been great enough to keep the number of officers per capita
on pace with population growth. Wisconsin Policy Forum Research Director Jason Stein is with us as we look at their new report with your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about police funding trends here in Wisconsin and a new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. couple storylines here from the report. Law enforcement makes up a larger share of total county spending now than at any point since the mid-80s. But police staffing levels in Wisconsin's largest cities have generally trailed behind population increases as overall crime levels do fall. So do you work in law enforcement? How does your agency put together a budget? How do you prioritize your funding? Has your department had cuts in recent years? Where to? Join in 800-642-1234. Jason Stein is research director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and he stays with us. Jason, as we were talking there, as you looked at the largest cities in Wisconsin, what did you see there as population growth continues over the decades?
Sure. I mean, again, what you did see is this significant increase in spending, but and in some cases, an increase in the number of officers. But, you know, when you looked at it on a per capita basis, you still saw that Oshkosh and Racine did have still more officers on a per capita basis. Janesville was roughly flat, but then Madison, Green Bay, Kenosha, Waukesha, Milwaukee, Appleton, Eau Claire all saw a drop in the number of officers per capita. In Milwaukee, we've also seen with the budget challenges in that city, significant numbers of police positions being eliminated just because of the broader budget challenges. Mm. And we may see that in other communities as well, not purely because of a policy decision, but because with COVID-19, you know, every aspect of local government budgets is going to be stressed for the next couple of years.
Funding for police departments is increasingly coming from the federal government. Federal departments like Justice, USDA, they have grant programs that are for, you know, hiring more police or outfitting them in gear, building new police facilities. How do you treat federal funding coming through grants in police budgets that you looked at?
Sure. So, I mean, what you would see is that because those grants phase out over time, then they would be funded. The officers that were hired would be funded by local resources. And so, you know, they would certainly show up in the spending reports, you know, as amounts are being spent by the local government at that point. And you do see that in the city of Madison. You know, we did a brief on their budget back in the fall, and there was a significant increase in spending on police officers, but not a large increase in the number of officers. And one of the reasons was a federal grant was phasing out, and the city was providing its own resources to start to pay for those officers that had been previously hired.
Oh, so there wouldn't be a gap or perhaps layoffs. One of the programs I wanted to ask you about is the COPS program out of the Justice Department, the Community-Oriented Policing Services Program. And they've provided $14 billion to hire and train local police in community policing. Was there any way to glean how much Wisconsin gets through programs like COPS?
That's a good question. We haven't looked at that specifically. I mean, that has been, again, it is certainly something that you see at the local level, that when officers are hired, they may be, you know, that is one of the things that can often result in that is a federal grant. And there is then over time the need for the local community, if they choose, they don't have to choose to accept the grant, but if they do, to over time begin to fund that officer out of local resources eventually.
We're talking about spending on police protection with a new report out from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Jason Stein is research director. You can join in with your questions about how funding is spent in your community through policing and how you feel about policing in your community. Are these dollars well spent? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Jason, have municipalities in other states prioritized services other than law enforcement over the past three decades? Do you see any shifts there?
Well, you certainly see that when you think about other things that are happening at the local level. There has been, you know, particularly in the 90s, there was a big push for school funding at the state level. And that certainly did, that push for school funding at the state level impacted what's called shared revenue, which is just basically discretionary state aid to cities and villages, you know, which a lot of which goes to pay for police and firefighters. So, you know, in addition, the same thing happened at the state level around paying for Medicaid to some degree, you know, coverage of low income and also people in, you know, people in nursing homes, people with disabilities for long-term care. So you do see some reprioritization there. But overall, as I think local governments have faced some tighter budgets over the past decade, they have, by and large, generally tried to prioritize law enforcement and firefighters among, you know, sort of the scarce resources that they have.
Did you see any anomalies in your data, any communities in Wisconsin that were outliers, that were bucking the trend toward putting more of the budget toward policing?
I mean, that's a good question. We were generally looking at it globally at the overall state level.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one thing you do see is you do tend to see, and we're not necessarily arguing that police and crime rates are directly linked in terms of causing crime to be higher or lower. You do tend to see that the communities with higher crime rates do have larger police forces and therefore are spending more on police.
When you hear these cries for defund the police and what that actually means, and you look at the budget and the data that you've broken down, you know, is there any way for communities to do that? How do they go about doing that or taking out that piece of their budget?
Sure. So, I mean, we don't take a position on an issue like that, but I guess I could offer a couple points. One is this is a chance for people to dig into the work that organizations like ours do to try and explain how their tax dollars get spent at the local level. And you want to think about not just your city and village, but also the school district, the county. There can be special districts that do sewage and stuff like that. But ultimately, so that's a chance to look at that. And then as well, there's a chance to think about how the money is spent. In the case of law enforcement, you know, there definitely is some equipment purchases and things like that. Most of the money goes to personnel. So if the budget goes up or down, that's going to tend to have a direct effect on personnel. So I mean, those are some of the things for people to consider as they think about what they would like to see happen in their local communities. And this is a chance for both elected officials and ordinary citizens, I think, to re-engage with budgeting at the local level.
How would they engage around return on investment and whether those dollars they're putting toward that biggest piece of their budget, that they're getting the best outcome from it?
I mean, that's always the most challenging thing to look at in the data is, and this is really, I think, one of the big challenges in public life, is we have really good data on what things cost, you know, how much we tax, how much we spend. We don't always have the same data on outcomes. In the case of education, which is, I think, one of the things that people have been focusing on, we do have pretty good data, and so there you can talk a lot about the outcomes. In the case of social services and just sort of the demographics of what's happening in the community, you know, there can be good data as well. But again, it sometimes can be really tricky to try and get at what is the impact of the different policy levers that elected officials are pulling. And, you know, it's part of, I think, a longer conversation that has to happen.
Yeah, and it sounds like, too, policing, you know, crime rates as a whole may not dictate exactly the worth of what that budget piece is, that crime isn't everything.
Right. And again, you know, certainly, you know, individual steps that, you know, are being taken may or may not have direct causation of sort of crime rates. You know, in other words, sometimes things can just be correlated. So because there is a lot of crime, there may be a decision made to have a lot of police officers and so on and so forth. So it isn't, you know, necessarily the case that all these things directly flow out of one another.
Jason, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Jason Stein is Research Director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Coming up, we get results from the new Marquette University Law School poll that gauges opinion on the presidential race, the administration's handling of the pandemic, and recent protests. We have poll director Charles Franklin coming up after this news update on the Ideas Network.